personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving them business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
Well, Dal, despite the fact that we do have a couple of football newsworthy tidbits to get to, we are still going to officially begin our four straight weeks of divisional previews with this week's episode. We're going to do the AFC and NFC East a little later on in the show,
yay,
which of course is particularly important to certain commander hat wearing individuals
and
in this
room. Wyoming Cowboy fans who follow Josh Allen.
The double whammy of doom. We do, however, have a little bit of news here in that DeAndre Hopkins, after telling us he gave the entire world a list of five quarterbacks he wanted to play for, he then gave his list of demands if he wanted to go to a team with established great upper management, a great defense, and one of the five quarterbacks on his list. He then decided to sign with the Tennessee Titans, who have upper management, an okay defense, and none of the quarterbacks that were on his list.
The best thing that's going for him going to the Titans is that they need a wide receiver badly. Whoever the quarterback's going to be, whether it's Tannehill for one more year or whether it's Will Levis, who they just drafted, or a combination of the two, they need a number one receiver badly. Mm-hmm. After getting rid of A.J. Brown. So he's got that going for him. Two, he has familiarity with Mike Vrabel, they were both on the Texans at one point. Vrabel was the defensive coordinator. Again, that's the weird part, is it's not like...
Partial familiarity.
Yeah. The funny thing was, up until Hopkins signed with the Titans, in fact, it's still funny, if you take him away from the roster, Mike Vrabel actually has the most touchdown catches of anyone affiliated with the Titans currently.
I want to say it was like...
He has like 13.
Oh, I thought it was like 8.
Oh, I thought it was in double digits, but he used to catch him all the time for the Patriots. So.
Yeah, he did it in 2 Super Bowls.
Yeah, so it's just...
He has the most Super Bowl touchdown catches.
But that was kind of a surprise because it seemed like, oh, is he going to ring chase with the Bills or the Chiefs? And then it's like, oh, he was met with the Patriots. Are they going to give him big money? And then the next thing you know, he signs with Tennessee. So I think a lot of people looked at that. And, you know, there is an incentive portion of his contract. I guess 2 years, $26 million, but he can get up to $32 mm-hmm. with incentives. And again, who the hell else are they going to throw it to? So he'll probably hit those incentives.
I have this question, though, Dal. Tennessee, I used to make this joke when I was a kid, because in the 2000s, this was true. I used to say that the Seattle Seahawks was the unofficial wide receiver retirement home of the NFL. Every wide receiver went there for 1 year to retire. Jerry Rice did it. TJ Houshmandzadeh did it. Derek Mason was there for a year. There was a few others that just kept... I want to say Isaac Bruce might have had a cup of coffee in Seattle. And now Tennessee's really trying to vie for that crown here in these last few years. Well, do you see DeAndre Hopkins being DeAndre Hopkins this coming year? Or do you have worries that this will have a certain scent of when the Titans got Randy Moss, when the Titans got Andre Johnson, when the Titans got Julio Jones, and all three of them were coming off okay years the year before? We didn't think they had fallen off yet.
But there's questions about where the gas tank was.
Yeah, and then they go to Tennessee, and then all questions were answered, and we went, oh. Like, Hopkins was good last year in the periodic games he played, but now he's got a Titans jersey on, so can we expect like a 300-yard season this coming up?
This one almost feels like, I mean, you just gave three great examples with the Titans. The first comparison I thought of was Galladay to the Giants. You're like, wow, that guy's really good. And then he goes to the Giants where no one can throw him the ball and doesn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of smells like that, too.
Except Galladay was still young and in his prime.
But I look at DeAndre Hopkins and I'm like, okay, yeah, there's an opening there for him to catch the ball. But I am just like you. How much does he have left in the tank? How much motivation does he have to be good? I mean, because let's be honest, he gave us all these things, a couple of which were kind of like legacy type of wants and needs. Like, He wants to play in the postseason. He wants to compete for a Super Bowl. He wants to play with an excellent quarterback. Tennessee doesn't really have those things. Even 2 years ago when they were the number one seed, they kind of got shown up for what they really were. I just, to me, it was surprising, and you kind of get the impression that his list, quote unquote, didn't have a lot of teeth on it.
Also, daily reminder that if Tennessee isn't selling and rebuilding, if that's not what they're doing, they just went out and bought a 32-year-old prime wide receiver. So clearly they're trying to go, well, maybe we can win a weak division. And unfortunately, he might have shown up 1 year late because it might be Jacksonville's division now, but we'll get to that during South Day, I guess. But, I mean, that was the one guarantee you could have had in Tennessee for like a 3-year stretch was, you know what? If nothing else, at least we'll win the division.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's guaranteed anymore.
I do think he's going to get plenty of targets. So I think we're going to find out relatively quickly the answer to some of those questions.
A lot of people like to make comparisons. And in Chicago right now, it's always the quarterback thing of, oh, you know what? Justin Fields, he's going into year 3. We just got him a wide receiver. We compare it to previous instances of this. So we'll do that again here for... Is this a bigger move for DeAndre Hopkins? Or could you see the potential that their first-round pick last year, Treylon Burks from Arkansas, very talented wide receiver who didn't really flash much as a rookie, now is no longer the de facto number one? And people were pointing out Devontae Smith had a huge year number two when the Eagles brought A.J. Brown over to be the number one. And then, who else was it? Someone had a giant year number two in a similar situation, and I'm completely drawing a blank now.
Well, Burks, I like Burks, first of all. I think he's going to be even better in year two. But let's be honest, it's still, you just don't know who's throwing you the ball.
Yeah.
You've either got aging Ryan Tannehill, or you've got a completely unproven rookie. That's it. Or potentially, holy crap, we drafted him and we shouldn't have a third rounder from last year.
It was Jalen Waddle was the other one. After they brought Tyreek Hill in, he exploded.
Yeah, this just feels like a money move and a security move. I think he's looking at this going, I can go in here, get a pair of 1,000-yard seasons, reestablish myself, at least statistically, as one of the better receivers, and then get one more contract somewhere else because it's only a 2-year deal. Mm-hmm. So he'll be 34 then, and then he can ring chase. Whether or not he still has anything left then, you know, who knows? But I just, to me,
he could.
To me, his base salary this year is, what, $13 million? And then, with incentives, he can add another $3 million to it, which, based on who else is on that roster, he's going to hit those. So I feel like he's probably going to get $16 million this year and $16 next year. Not so bad.
So we'll go more into this when we're breaking down the AFC South, Dal. But to the Tennessee Titans... strike you as the Chicago Bulls of football? The way that they run this team right now, they seem to not be able to decide.
I think they're better than the Bulls.
Whether or not they want to chase a championship or just scrap this and start over. So they're caught somewhere in the middle where they're going to be 9-8, 10-7 single year.
I see the comparison you're making. I will give Tennessee more credit than I'll give the Bulls, because the Bulls have not even been close to a number one overall seed in their conference over the course of a regular season. And, yeah, is that a Jeremy Shockey jersey?
So we can...
Good heavens sakes, what a douchebag. Oh,
you are going to absolutely despise at least a few of these that I'm throwing on today on East Day.
That's definitely one. Jeremy Shockey.
Now, I had an Eagles jersey.
At least go get you a Mark Bavaro jersey if you're going to wear a Giants jersey.
Now, this one was actually gifted to me, to be fair. But
that's the only way you'll get one for a Jeremy Shockey jersey.
Bavaro, Notre Dame kid, would have made more sense, I suppose.
It's like
but also cost more money.
It's like the Ninja Turtles movie that came out in the 80s, one of my favorites. And Raphael's in a fight with Casey Jones, and he tries to hit him with a bat, and he catches it. He's like, a Jose Canseco bat? Tell me you didn't pay money for this. That's how I feel about that jersey right there.
Now, it's funny that you mentioned the money part, too, because let me just point out, you go and you get a Mark Bavaro jersey, you have to pay full price for that.
Yeah, there's a reason.
A lot of the jerseys that I own that are for teams that I don't really care about are because that player had just left that offseason, and so they get that nice 75% off discount on NFL Shop.
I have a
nice collection of those.
I have a nephew who's a Cowboys fan, just like his dad, and there for a while, my brother wanted to get him a jersey for his birthday or Christmas. I can't remember which one, but he's also extremely bargain shopper. And so, yeah, he went and found, I get was Roy Williams or someone who was, yes, someone who was with the Cowboys for like 8 months, and the jersey was like, yeah, it was like next to none. So whenever, and he still brings it out once in a while, and I just laugh.
Roy Williams was my big win on Immaculate Grid the other day for a bear and a cowboy.
And see, to me, sorry, I promise I'll get back on topic here, but me, and I even chewed Aaron out before we got started. We got to keep on topic, Aaron. There's a lot of stuff here. But to me, I don't buy a jersey for my team unless they're either A, in the Hall of Fame, B, belong in the Hall of Fame, or C, have some kind of personal connection. So in other words, I have like Russ Grimm and John Riggins. I have Joe Jacoby because he belongs in the Hall of Fame. Maybe he'll get in this time. I have a Chase Roullier jersey because he played at Wyoming, just retired. So those are some of my, but I've always wanted, but I mean, I see some of these guys, yeah, they have like these obscure, I mean, they've got like a Josh Johnson Redskins jersey. And I'm like, wow, you have too much money.
Just you wait until I pull out the Pete Bowlware Ravens jersey on North Day.
And I'll have a story for you on that, too.
You should see that. So I had a McNabb Eagles jersey as well, but that's not the one.
See, there's
I
another one. There's another one. A McNabb Redskins jersey. That would just talk about put it as a diaper on your kid.
But anyhow, the reason I decided to go Giants first of the eight East teams we're going to go here is it kind of ties into another story that's all over the place, and we've talked about it a lot. The running backs just straight up not able to get second contracts with their teams anymore. Mina Kimes, I believe is her name, from ESPN.
I thought it was Kimes.
Kimes from ESPN. I don't watch enough ESPN. That's Mina Kimes.
She's on like Pardon the Interruption. Not Pardon, but
yeah, I've
Around
only seen
the Horn
it spelled
like
because
that.
I only see her on Twitter. I don't actually see
like
people
Mina
talk
Kimes.
To her.
I think she's pretty dang good.
Threw out a couple of ideas to potentially help running backs because at this point, we're getting to the point where running backs are either going to become punters and long snappers. Like, we just accept that you're going to make league minimum every year because that's the position you play. Or we're going to need rule changes to some of these things. And some of the ones she thought of, one of them was make running back salary cap exempt. And I don't agree with that because then you get teams like the New York Giants will have the best running back in football every year forever. The Dallas Cowboys will have the best running back in football every year forever because they'll say, oh, here's $100 million.
Yeah, they're both
they're
both rich and they're in my division. I don't want that.
Yeah. So I don't much care for the no salary cap for running backs thing. What I did appreciate, and I thought this one might work better, make rookie contracts specifically for the running back position a different rule. Every other position is a 5-year automatic deal. She said, what if we made rookie running back contracts 2 years? So that the argument of, well, your best years are your first 5 to 8 years. So we kind of don't want to give, we already got 5 of them. Even if you got 3 years left, I don't want to give you another 5-year deal. Well, okay. Well, you get him for 2 years to test drive him. You see, oh, this Saquon Barkley guy is pretty good. Now that I know I'm still getting several more years, I'll give you a 5-year contract.
But can't they already do that? Talk about no creativity within the front office of these teams. They can do that right now. They don't need a rule.
Well, sort of. They'd have to not draft the guy and sign him as an undrafted free agent.
I'm just saying they could fix that now. But to me, the big thing that came out today, as of this, we're recording on a Tuesday, was someone threw a meme out there, and it showed Justin Tucker. Of course, he's the best kicker in NFL history, or one of them.
Yeah.
But this is the average. This is not his salary, because his is higher.
Yeah.
But the average NFL kicker in the 2023 season is going to make $2.26 million.
Yep.
The average running back in the league is going to make $1.81 million, which absolutely floors me.
Now, here is the thing with that, because it was already pointed out. That's not the average for starting running backs. Starting True. Running backs' average right now is $8.8 million.
Well, and nobody... Yeah, there is a kind of a statistical slant to it, because nobody's carrying multiple kickers.
Yeah, so every kicker is a starting kicker. Your third string running back is probably... On every team, I'm guessing, is making the $550,000. Yeah, he's making league minimum.
But here's my point. I look at like the third ranked running back on my team, and he deserves to make a hell of a lot more than our kicker does. Just based on... And that's nothing against Joey Sly. I'm just saying
Oh, I like Sly.
I do too. But I think for that position, it really is insulting. They get the crap beat out of them. They handle the ball. They're one of the primary ball handlers on the team. It's just amazing to me how devalued that position has gotten. And like you said, we've talked about this before in our podcast, but we're focusing on with the Giants here as we talk about the Giants, because here you've got Saquon Barkley, who was finally healthy last year. He had two years in a row where he wasn't, or one and a half, somewhere in that range. So to me, there's still questions about him. But they threw a franchise tag at him and said, we'll pay, that's the average of the top five running backs, $10.09 million. He gave him the double bird finger. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is bull crap. I deserve more than that.
Let's be real. I understand the whole running backs, they get hurt, they take a beating, they don't last long. From a business standpoint, that's the worst part of this whole argument, is that both sides are right.
Yeah, they are.
And I get all that. On the other hand, Saquon Barkley, I don't care what people, New York Giant fans are trying to convince themselves that they're happy with Daniel Jones and that, barely any intercept. Saquon Barkley was 100% of your entire offense last
year.
Here
is my problem. I don't care. If I'm Saquon Barkley, you have done a hell of a lot more for the Giants than Daniel Jones has.
It's not even close.
And yet, immediately when it came time to decide, do we go with Daniel Jones, they give him $100 million in terms of his contract, which is bullcrap.
Mm-hmm.
That I think that is one of the dumbest contract signings of the last 10 years. You watch Daniel Jones; he will never throw 30 touchdown passes in a season. He may not even last this year as the starter, and they just gave him this huge contract. And yet, there's Saquon saying, "I think I deserve $14 million this year," and they're like, "Yeah, I don't know, Saquon." And he's got to be sitting there going, "You'll give Jones $25 million this year."
That's the part that still irks me to this day. And so many people are just so conditioned to just say, "Well, that is what it is," and that's just the natural order. This positional value thing that we do. I'm sorry, I just want the best players on the field to be on my team. I don't care that Daniel Jones is a quarterback by technicality.
And I don't care that he only threw six interceptions or whatever.
If that's what Daniel Jones wants, I'm telling him no. Saquon Barkley is more important to my team than Daniel Jones is, whether Daniel Jones is on the roster as a quarterback or not. Who's the better player? Pay the better player and keep the better player on your team regardless of position. Tyreek Hill just made all that money, and Tyreek Hill's a top-tier player. Whatever. I'll even attack him. Who was more important to their offense last year? You could take Tyreek Hill off the Dolphins for a few games.
And they're still going to be good.
They would still have a fine offense. Not a great offense, but a fine offense. You take Saquon Barkley off the Giants, they have no offense. They're the worst offense in football.
Agreed.
Christian Kirk does not deserve to make more money than Saquon Barkley.
I just think, you're right. Both sides have a point, and it's kind of come to a head this week because you've got Saquon Barkley, you've got Josh Jacobs, you've got Tony Pollard, who got the franchise tag. He's at least going to sign his, or he has already, and he'll play under that, which is, again, $10.09 million. It's the average of the top. Here's my other thing. I wonder if Saquon, again, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve more than $10 million a year, because he probably does. But at what point, then these running backs come out and they act like they're plowing the road. Got to do it for the guys behind us. That does not work.
No.
Go ask Le'Veon. In fact, Le'Veon Bell just last week apologized to Steelers fans for sitting out that season. Do you know how many millions of dollars he lost by his? He was never the same. Mm-hmm. He was never the same. His clout was never the same. I'll bet you over the course of his career, I'll bet he pissed away $25 million.
Easily my favorite was some dude saying Le'Veon Bell decided to take a year off in jet ski and come back as a Jet, and it's probably cost the rest of running backs billions of dollars.
So at some point, yeah, I get it. It's maybe a little unfair, but it's $10 million. And I think the only reason Saquon in particular, and you could argue Josh Jacobs too, the, like the biggest reason they're going to balk is because they were first-round picks. Mm-hmm. Tony Pollard signed his. Because Tony Pollard wasn't making anywhere near $10 million. But now he is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it's for. So I think maybe when you talk about Mina Kimes and some of her suggestions, maybe it needs to be if you're a first-round pick, it should be this. And if you're out of the first round, it should be something else. I don't know. But I guess we should talk more about the Giants.
I kind of appreciated the two-year rookie deal
idea.
I also think, though, that one thing that's going to help, and a lot of people hated it, and we got college coaches talking about how much that it's ruining college sports. But I'm sorry, you see what's happening to these guys in the NFL? Maybe some of these superstar college running backs that spend their prime years of running doing it for free up till now. You know, maybe the next Blake Corum in Michigan, he's probably the next superstar college running back.
You got the next one right now. He's on a team ready to probably give the Falcons 1,000 yards this year, Bijan Robinson. Mm-hmm. And what's his future going to be?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is Blake Corum, I mean, if Nike decides to run some Blake Corum NIL, put him in some Nike commercials, whatever, give him some a couple million dollars for that, you know what? I no longer care about these coaches raising concerns because you know what? He'll probably make more. Some freshman coming out right now that's a five-star guy that's going to go commit to the University of Georgia and rush there for 3 years is arguably going to make more in his 3 years collecting NIL stuff than he's going to in his eight-year NFL career.
Here's the thing.
It's a bit ridiculous.
Here's the thing on NIL, though. It is still in the agent phase is what I call it. Oh, we can get you this. We're going to pay you that. It is just like going to the pawn shop. You go to the pawn shop to I watch a lot of Pawn Stars. You go to the pawn shop to sell something. You've been online and they're selling for this much. And then he hits you with, no, they're asking for that much. When the rubber hits the road, I think these NIL deals, I think the vast majority of them are not what they're being said. You look at Florida this last year. They're supposed to pay that one kid, what, $70 million?
And
except that we don't have that. So what did he get? He sure as hell didn't get $70 million.
Now, that is from the university's collective packs.
I'm just saying.
I was talking
I think
more.
Everybody is overblowing the NIL income potential still.
But for instance, Amazon just signed a deal with Angel Reese from LSU. I am positive that even though that's not LSU's PAX panger, I'm sure Amazon has given her a pretty penny.
Yeah. but I also feel like most of these athletes are not going to get what they are told they're going to get.
Potentially.
So you got to be careful. But anyway,
but speaking of the Giants.
Giants, yes, sorry.
They've definitely got two players right now on each side of the ball that you point to, and they just released the Madden ratings, for those of you that care about such things. Saquon Barkley, I don't know that they've done running backs yet. I'm sure he'll be in the 90s.
He was an 89 last year, and the reason I know that is because I'm playing a lot of Madden recently.
And Dexter Lawrence, the defensive tackle, arguably the second-best defensive tackle in football behind, you know, that other guy.
Mr. 99, that's his rating, not his number, Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald.
He's a 99 again.
A freak of nature, probably, I mean, I say probably. By the time he retires, will be one of the top 10,
already,
top 5 defensive tackles of all time.
He already was going to retire, remember? But to me, the Giants need to have more options. Ironically, we already talked about Galladay and what a kind of a bust he's been there. They need more people to throw the ball to, in my opinion. Of course, Daniel Jones is not the best quarterback in the league, even though you're paying him like one.
Boy, can he hand that ball
off,
though.
Darius Slayton was their leading receiver this last year. He had about 700-plus yards. to me, the best thing the Giants have going for them is Brian Daboll. He came in and installed a belief system that we can win every game.
So
they won more than they lost because of him.
If you're a fantasy player, Dal, and I know you are, you got the first pick in our draft this year, which you're using on Josh Allen.
Yep, Josh Allen.
Don't be tempted.
Hey,
Jonathan Taylor is still there.
Screw that guy.
Surely not 2 years in a row,
I had to stop myself from tweeting at him today. Because he was going off on this whole running back thing on Twitter. And I wanted to say, you had 800 yards last year in 17 games. Shut your gob. That's why you don't deserve $15 million. You had 800 yards.
So, yeah, Dal got burned a little bit with the first-round pick.
Scorched.
You were handed it last year, and this year the wheel giveth.
Yeah, this was a total gift.
The wheel handed Dal a do-over. It said, here, try again, buddy.
And you know what? And for all I know, Josh, it'll be like the worst year of his career, and I won't even care because he's my guy. I'm riding with my guy.
At least you will have... I always enjoy having players I already like on my fantasy team because it feels like I have an excuse to then... Like, I'm going to watch Bengals games because I have Red Zone. I want to be able to cheer for specifically Ja'Marr Chase. It just feels nice, you know?
Yeah.
Better than when I have to have CD Lamb and I'm gritting my teeth as he scores a touchdown and I'm like, yeah.
So I'm going to get us back on path here because we're struggling.
The New York Giants.
So the Giants, I feel like the Giants are going to take a step back.
I also feel that, but I do have to ask, how do you feel about this, Dal? He once won me a fantasy championship, but he was a Raider at the time. Does it hurt or help his fantasy value? Darren Waller, do you think he's just going to get bombarded with targets because there's no wide receivers? Or do you feel the other direction? Do you think he's going to get quadruple teamed on every play and get no points?
I don't know. I just feel like the Giants, to me, the Giants are that quiet kid in class who you weren't expecting anything of, and then happened, you know, then you're playing pickup ball, and he happens to hit five or six in a row, and your team wins, and you're like, wow, that guy can shoot. Well, no, he can't. He just had one of those moments. So I think the Giants had one of those moments last year. I think they're going to win like five or six games this year.
We are creeping into August, which means fantasy drafts are going to start. So I'm going to pick one player from each team, and I'm going to ask you, Dal, boom or bust. This was my for the Giants.
All right,
Waller. Boom or bust, Darren Waller.
Bust.
Fourth round comes around. You taking him?
No. Fourth round, not a chance.
All right. Well, that's
way too early.
That's where Yahoo has him rough. In a 12-man league, which is what we're in.
Yeah, I think that's way too high.
Way too high. Darren Waller bust, according to Dal. If he were lower, if people were, like, sleeping on him, I think I would give Waller a chance if I was like, oh, no one's taking Waller. It's round 8.
I have no belief.
Baby.
I have no belief in who's throwing him the ball.
I hate when Yahoo has similar thoughts to me, though, and it ruins my... When I have these guys that I think would be steals... And then I look on Yahoo, and they're like, oh, we have him ranked 38th. Like, well, now he's not a steal, you turd. I had high hopes for tricking everyone and taking that guy late. I hate you. Like, last year, I thought I was going to be real sneaky, and I actually had this thought that Gabe Davis was going to be, like, a sneaky good wide receiver. I'm like, you know what? No one's going to want Gabe Davis before, like, round 14. And he's like, he could get a touchdown a game with Josh Allen as his quarterback.
I had the same thought about him.
And then all these Yahoo drafts, he was going in round 5 and 6. And I went, what?
And he didn't deserve it.
And I'm like,
as it turns out.
Yeah. I would have been perfectly happy with my 700 yards and 8 touchdowns if I had taken him in round 14 like I thought I was going to get him. Not drafting him in round 5.
All right, turd. So who you want to go to next?
Let's consult the jersey pile. I'm going to reach behind me blindly.
I'm going to close my eyes while you do it. So Aaron has brought in all of his jerseys from the Eastern teams. He's going to peel off this freaking terrible Jeremy Shockey jersey. What a... Oh.
And you're not going to like this next one any better, but at least the jersey itself is funnier.
Yeah, this is funny. It's got a funny story to it. So he's putting on his Eagles jersey.
Now, the people have heard the story, if they're devout listeners of our show, but it's my signed AJ Feely Eagles jersey out of the back of his pickup truck.
Which you share the same name, obviously, Aaron Feely.
Aaron Feely spells it the same in anything. The jersey, the signature is on one of the shoulders. Which one was it again? There it is. It's been run down a little bit, but there it is in permanent marker.
The story's hilarious because as you tell it, you met him, and then he just goes to his trunk, and he's probably played for how many teams in his career?
It's got to be
10 or 12.
33 out of the 32 of them.
Anyway, I just think it's hilarious. He just had him in his trunk.
In boxes.
And he goes and pulls out a Feely jersey.
He asked me which team I wanted. That's the best part. I'm like, I fully expected that I was getting a Rams jersey. I'm like, you play for the Rams now. It's the Rams who are here doing this camp for us. We had Darren Wells was there. AJ Feely was there. Steven Jackson was there. And AJ Feely, they're representing the Rams, asked me which team I wanted. And then I picked a team that wasn't the Rams because I am a terrible, terrible person.
It is funny, though. It's a funny story. But the Eagles, who I'll be honest with you, halfway through the third quarter of the Super Bowl, I thought they were winning the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
They looked good. Jalen Hurts played about 90% of a perfect game.
Can I say the
one major mistake ended up costing him, but
may I ask this here, Dal? Was the Eagles, who won 14 games last year, plus two playoff games, the Super Bowl, a game they lost, was it the best game that their offense played all season?
I don't know, because I honestly probably didn't pay enough attention to answer that question accurately. But I thought they played well enough to win the Super Bowl.
You definitely don't hate monitor the rest of your division the way I do then, I guess.
I just, I can't.
I keep way too close a tabs on the Lions, Vikings, and Packers just to prey on their downfall every week.
I feel like, if anything, the way I feel about Daniel Jones is kind of probably the opposite of how I feel about Jalen Hurts. I feel like, for whatever reason, Jalen Hurts puts up video game numbers. He was, again, a few minutes away from winning the Super Bowl. And yet in my mind, and in most people's minds, he is not a quote-unquote top five quarterback.
I thought he played like one.
Well, statistically, he is.
I think
part of it is because last year was the first full year that he looked like that. If he does that again this year, you're going to see people kind of fall off the, maybe even the Josh Allen bandwagon, maybe the Aaron Rodgers bandwagon, and push them down a little.
Well, here's a big part of it, and we saw a lot of it even in the regular season. His numbers are great, but a lot of the time he is underthrowing. He's throwing ducks up to dudes that are winning contested catches or just getting wide open.
He also ran for over 700 yards.
Now, his rushing, you can't take away from him. He's just real good.
I'm just saying, I think he and Allen are the only quarterbacks who've ever thrown for 4,000 yards and rushed for 700 in the same season.
This is what I'll say. Jalen Hurts on the Carolina Panthers is going to put up, I think, what we thought of him last year numbers. Yeah. However, can I just say, because I am not Colin Cowherd, and I have no problem just straight up admitting this, I've done it many times when a quarterback has made me look like an idiot. That's why they're a professional athlete, and I am just here talking about them. You and I both, for most of the season, kept talking about how Jalen Hurts. We're like, he doesn't speak to me. I'm not feeling it. I don't know why. He's Taysom Hill in an Eagles jersey.
I wouldn't go quite that far.
Well, you have an extra hate for Hill because of BYU. But both of us kind of had this, he's just on a stacked team.
There is that,
team.
But I actually just think people overrate Taysom Hill. I like the guy. I really do. I hate the school he went to.
But for most of the year, you and I talked about Jalen Hurts like that. And then the playoffs happened. And I got to say, much like Jimmy Butler doing this to us every year, I do think that counts for something to when, even if your regular season, maybe I still feel was overrated from Hurts. He was, you know, whatever. Devontae Smith is 20 yards away from the nearest defender and you can punt the ball to him. Congratulations. Whatever. Then he played those playoff games and he was lights out against New York, against San Francisco, against Kansas City apart from one fumble, and I don't
want... mistake.
I mean, I don't want to hear it. The fact that you can make one mistake and it cost you the Super Bowl in the second quarter, you know what? Then fine. I guess you're just playing a team that couldn't be stopped that day.
Well,
whatever.
You can blame their defense more than you can blame him.
I mean, Jalen Hurts was unbelievable.
But he did make a crucial mistake.
And it wasn't what he was in the race. It was not, oh, let me just, you know, throw up a pop gun shot to a wide open eight. Like, he was threading needles. He was making clutch third down throws into tight windows. Jalen Hurts in the playoffs stepped up. And I think, for me personally, it bumped him up like five spots on my rankings list, of course. I mean, he's borderline on the top five now for me.
Yeah.
I'm like, just from those three games, because they're the three most important games of the season, it's, you and I are Bulls fans. Is that not the Michael Jordan quality that we like to look for in athletes that are in? You want your pitchers
until
to do
he lost in the championship.
Well, yes.
Which Jordan doesn't do.
Well, yes, but as we just said, you know what? How much of that? Jalen Hurts didn't get ball last. That's all we're going to say.
I'll say this. Give Hurts credit for being probably better than what people gave him credit for outside of Philly and taking advantage of the talent around him, especially on offense. They go get A.J. Brown. I mean, how good of a pickup are you getting when Devontae Smith
is the second best receiver?
One of the best receivers in the league. Gets moved to the number two spot because of who you brought in. That's, I mean, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, that's probably the best 1-2 punch in the league.
Here's my boomer.
And then Miles Sanders, who's one of the more underrated running backs in the league. I just, offensive, and then, you know, I didn't get to, like, Goddard and those guys. It's a very good offense.
Let me say this, Dal. First of all, last thing here before we go to our boom or bust, I know you're a Commanders fan. You take the
Command skins. I'm kind of falling in love with
that. If you take
that.
The crimson-tinted glasses off for just a moment, are they still the favorites in the East?
In the NFC East?
Now, reminder that even though we look at their roster and we probably do still say it's the most talented, no team has repeated since 2000.
That's true.
And even the
Command skins have won it two or three times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say yes.
All right.
Because I look at the other teams and I think there are way too many question marks. And I think, yeah, Philly has to, they kind of got picked over in free agency defensively, but I think they had an exceptional draft. And I think they have guys ready to step in and do well. I would be surprised if they didn't win the East again this year.
Boomer Bustal, your fantasy player. Round, when will he go? Round three rolls around, Dal. DeAndre Swift is the best running back available. Do you draft him or no?
In round three?
That's where he's ranked right now.
No way.
No way?
No.
What about
way.
Round four? Let's say no. A couple people pass on him.
I think that is way too high for him.
Now, here's why. Obviously, we're scoffing a little bit. Yahoo thinks that basically every running back in the league is going to be gone by round four. Like, everyone, no, you go running back, running back, running back, maybe a receiver, running back.
That has not been my experience with the draft, at least in the league that I run. I'm going to say no. In fact, I wouldn't take him in the first 10 rounds.
Oh, all right. You think Philly will load manage him Detroit did?
I just think there are more... I think there's more point potential with other players.
So last year, Miles Sanders, many people considered it a disappointing fantasy year, but he had 900-something yards.
He had 1,200 rushing yards.
Rushing yards?
Yeah.
I thought he was under 1,000.
I'm almost positive he had like 1,200. I'll look that up real
quick. Okay. Better or worse than Sanders was for him last year, DeAndre Swift, statistically, not from a talent standpoint.
Swift is not going to have 1,200 yards.
All right.
Has he ever in his career?
Well, no, because they only give him 7 carries a game up in Detroit.
That's not my issue.
That's what I was asking. Do you think?
Sanders had 1,269 yards last year. 11 touchdowns. To me, I don't know how you can be disappointed with that from a fantasy standpoint. Because I doubt he went in the first 5 rounds.
No.
Which means you got a hell of a lot of production for a guy that gives you that. To me, I would take Sanders over Swift the whole day.
I think most people that took Sanders, myself included in one league, it was because we weren't expecting Hurts' arm to blow up like it did. So we kind of thought they were going to run the Bears offense. And we're like, it's going to be Hurts and Sanders running read option. We're going to get 100 yards a game from Miles Sanders.
Well, you know, then you got to throw in there that Hurts had 700 yards. To me, Sanders is your top back. I don't see how Swift gets enough carries to be worth a top 5-round pick.
So that's two busts in a row. Dal is not trusting any fantasy players.
Bust as far as they have been presented to me.
Let's reach back randomly into the pit. Who's it going to be here, Dal? I got my knuckles caught on something.
All right, are we changing conferences?
Oh, we are just a little bit, Dal.
Okay. That's confusing. You sure you don't want to stick in the NFC?
You know what? We'll stick in the NFC then. I'll reach until I grab a cowboy or a skin.
There you go. Ugh. At least, you know what? I actually like Tony Romo. I read a story once. They had a big game. It might have even been a playoff game. And this lady was leaving the stadium. She gets a flat tire right on the shoulder. It's, you know, it's kind of scary. And she's been there. She's kind of trying to figure out what to do. And this guy in a big, nice pickup truck pulls up behind her, helps her change her tire, very polite, helps her get back on her way. She's like, oh, what a nice young man. It was Tony Romo. And it was after a game. I mean, he easily could have been like, someone drive me home and so I can, you know, soak in a tub full of perfume or something. I mean, he's got that type of resources. Instead, he helps some lady with a flat tire off the side of the road. Those stories, and I hate Dallas. Mm-hmm. I hate them. But I like Tony Romo.
So Tony Romo, my odd story of Tony Romo is my cousin-in-law married my cousin. His name's Matt.
You don't say.
Yeah. I wasn't really sure if that was a thing, like a phrasing people said.
I don't know.
Anyhow, name's Matt. He attended Eastern Illinois while Romo was there, and he played in a rec basketball league in the gym. And they put it together, and it was for the students. And Matt was just a student there. But he would frequently play for and 1 year on the same team. Or he would play against, and 1 year, he claimed, on the same team as Tony Romo during rec basketball at Eastern Illinois. So my cousin-in-law used to ball with Tony Romo.
Although he's not very tall. I don't know if I'd want him on my basketball team.
Tony Romo, according to Matt, was exceptional at basketball. You know, shooter.
He's probably exceptional at everything.
Yeah. Well,
he's a hell of a golfer.
I think he is still 6'3", too, by the way.
Oh, I thought he was like 6'1", or 6'.
No,
foot.
In a rec league basketball, I'm sure that's then. Plenty. He wasn't playing the Eastern Illinois team.
No, it's just... So Dak Prescott came out just yesterday and made one of those social media comments that you're not supposed to make.
Uh-oh.
He puts out there... It was just so open for interpretation. I know what he meant.
You talking about the interception thing?
He comes out and says he's like, I guarantee you, I'm not going to have 10 interceptions this year. Yeah, people are like, yeah, you'll have 20. You know? He's basically saying, I'm going to really cut down on my interceptions, but that's not how he worded it.
When he throws interception number 10, around week 8.
I was going to say, or in week 4.
You are not going to want to go on Twitter as a Cowboys fan for a hot minute. It is going to hit Twitter like heroin, that 10th interception. But
that's a really low number.
I appreciate the bravado.
Especially for 17 games, especially in one of the more competitive divisions in football. I don't see it. Anyway, I kind of like Dak Prescott. You know, he was an underdog, fourth rounder, but now he's been paid.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's this expectation level. Okay, we've paid you like an elite quarterback. We need you to give us elite production. Now, at least to their credit, they advanced this postseason. They actually won. Didn't get beat in the first round. They were a whisker away from continuing to advance to the NFC Championship game. Against the Niners, correct? They barely lost to the Niners. Yes.
Annoyingly, this Cowboy team has a lot of talent on it. In a very weak NFC.
But I really do feel like their defense carries the day, not their offense.
Well, yes.
I mean, I guess what I'm saying is their offense has gotten worse.
Mm-hmm.
You go back two years ago when Ezekiel Elliott was still running well, and you still had Amari Cooper, and then you had CeeDee Lamb, who was just starting to come into. Now you've just got CeeDee Lamb and Tony Pollard, who I like.
I would argue that we might actually be in more danger as Cowboy haters with Tony Pollard not getting 50% of his touches stolen from a decrepit old Ezekiel Elliott.
I totally agree.
I think now that they are forced to start Pollard every day and give him, what, 95% of the
running back touches?
I mean, remember, like you said, when Elliott was running for 1,600 yards a season and the Cowboys were 13-3 and the one seed? That is what I fear. I'm really just hoping the Eagles can hold them back.
I will say, though, that any time, you know, can you stay healthy? For those levels, because I mean, he is coming up. It's not an exceptionally bad injury. I mean, it's a normal. Hey, I broke my leg, which you know, is not.
It's perfectly normal. Everyone does it.
It's not ideal when your job is to run, but at the same time, I really like Tony Pollard, and I totally agree with you. I think he's the much better option. That became apparent about 5 weeks into the season. But at the same time. I really do think the defense, I mean, those, it makes me sick, but that the defensive ends and Micah Parsons. If I was Dallas, I'd find a way to line up Micah Parsons on offense somehow doing something. Make him a friggin' tight end or a fullback or something. That guy is a freak, and I hate that he's on Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they have enough to overcome the Eagles.
I think the biggest difference right now is skill position.
Yeah. On offense, I think they are wanting.
I think Dak Prescott is what happens when you go to Walmart and you're bargain hunting for Frosted Flakes. And you're like, you know what? I'd really like some Frosted Flakes, but payday's not till 2 days from now.
And you'll get the giant bag.
And so there's the one that says Sam's Choice, and it's like, Sugar Flakes or
it's
something.
It's pretty good.
And it's like $2 cheaper.
It's like 80% as good.
Yeah, but then when you get home, you pour it in the
and
milk.
You get
and
more
like,
of it.
You're like, this is similar, but like the sugar is like hardened and it's stuck to the flakes and the flakes are all stale. And you're like, oh, it's not Frosted Flakes.
It's such a first world problem.
That Dak Prescott is your Sugar Flakes to Jalen Hurts' Kellogg's Frosted Flakes.
With Tony the Tiger.
Yes.
Wait, is it somebody else? Anyway, I think Dallas could surprise. They've always got lots of talent. I think they had a really good draft. Again, I don't like what they have when it comes to clutch time. I think they've gotten rid of some pieces that have been very confusing. Why did they get rid of Amari Cooper? They paid the guy, and then they got rid of him.
Because they would rather have Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, that was a huge mistake.
Although, on the plus side, we just complained about running backs not getting enough respect. We should have all, and I guess we kind of were, because it also hurt Dallas. So, on a double whammy, we should really be celebrating that move by Jerry Jones.
Well,
very, very helpful to the running back market.
And there are guys recently who have screwed it up. Ezekiel, look at, how about Gurley? Remember, mm-hmm. Gurley got a huge contract from the Rams. What did he do after his contract?
And
nothing.
Again, I would argue that that's a shame. We shouldn't want that as fans.
I'm not saying I wanted it. I'm just saying you can see why they are pointing to these extensions and going, see, this is what happens.
But yeah, so Dallas, boom or bust. This might be the only time I go with a quarterback, Dal, but Dak Prescott, would you take it? Well, you're going to take Josh Allen first overall, but let's say that you fold again, Dal. The last minute, your finger cramps and it twitches, and oopsie daisies, I took Justin Jefferson first overall. My bad. Uh-oh, and then someone else took Allen. And then the sixth round rolls around and Dak Prescott is there.
I would take Dak in the sixth round.
Okay.
I wouldn't take him in the second.
You would feel comfortable with Dak Prescott as your starting fantasy quarterback. You're going to go boom.
If I waited till my sixth round, I would. Yeah.
All righty. All right, so not so blind this time, Dal, but we got some music going here as we await the turning around and grabbing a red.
I'm seeing much more of Aaron during our show than I normally do. Oh, he's got a Clinton Portis jersey.
I do. My favorite Washington player of all time.
It says Redskins on the jersey. You can say it.
Oh, yes.
I don't care what people say, even if it's now in a historical sense. That was the name.
Yes. If for no other reason, and this is going to sound lame, of all the reasons to have a favorite player from your team, Dal, I apologize that this is all it is, but the first video game I ever had that was a sporting game was ESPN 2K5, and I know that there were like five running backs that had better ratings than him. It straight up did not matter. If you had Clinton Portis on your team, you were not going to be tackled for the duration of that game. We would do these franchise modes where you could fantasy draft, and you could take whoever you want. So I would play as the Bears on a franchise, but I would have, you know, like I'd have Philip Rivers at quarterback, and I'd have...
You'd stack your roster.
Not stack it, because you draft all 32 teams.
Okay.
First round every time, Clinton Portis with my first round pick, because I knew I was just going to run that off tackle on an offset eye with Clinton Portis, and I was going to spam tap that X button with my PlayStation as hard as I possibly could and as fast as I could, and I was just going to watch defenders slip off of me for eight. I'm like, this Clinton Portis dude sure is the most unstoppable man I've ever seen.
I actually got to watch Clinton Portis in person. I've only been to a handful of pro games, but one of them was in 2004. And it was Monday Night Football at FedEx Field, Joe Gibbs 2.0 coaching against Bill Parcells and the Dallas Cowboys. And me and my brother went out. We had great seats. We're like on the 50-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
He treated me. I don't know how much he spent on him. More than he should have. Anyway, we're there. We're not like, oh, we'll show up. No, we're there before the players just to kind of. Anyway, so they come out and they're warming up. And they're doing like some screen passes to Clinton Portis, and he's doing some cone, you know, they're not cones, but like foot drills. And with that, I mean, no sound between us. Me and my brother look at each other and go, holy crap, these guys are fast. And they're not, and they weren't even going full speed. They're going like 75% because they're warming up. And then the game started, and then it was like, I've never seen athleticism like that. At least I hadn't up to that point. Some of the players that were in that game, but he's the one that jumped out to me, and it was just like, wow, that is like next level elite athleticism. It was fun. Unfortunately, you might have heard the end of this. Washington ends up losing in overtime.
Oh.
And some Dallas fans were chanting behind us, and some good old Washington fans that had season tickets were flinging quarters at him. It was awesome.
my experience with actually watching Clinton Portis was, I think I started watching football around 2005, I want to say, where like I paid attention to teams that weren't just the Bears. Before that, you know, it was, oh, Dad's got the Bears game on. I'll cheer when Dad cheers. But yeah, Clinton Portis, I believe, took Washington to the postseason in 07.
I think it was 06, actually.
06 is a wild card team.
Because that's the last playoff game they won. They defeated the mighty Chris Sims and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
But I remember him and Lindell Betts were...
I like Lindell Betts.
Quite the formidable duo for a long time. And you want to talk about forgotten, dominating duos in sports? Other than you and I talking right now, how many people do you think will just randomly on a Sunday morning wake up and go, oh, remember Clinton Portis and Lindell Betts?
Nope, nobody else is. I'm going to admit, you talked about my Crimson Goggles before. This is as hopeful as I've been for a Washington franchise in years.
For the future, I presume, with the sale of the team.
Yes, but this year, I think they have the potential to push for the division this year.
You're telling me going into 2013 after RG3 just won Rookie of the Year, you didn't have...
I said years.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a huge disappointment when he got hurt and that whole thing fell apart. Because the year before that was one of the funnest times ever for a Washington fan. But I love the players that are coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Washington's about to get this huge infusion of goodwill as Satan pulls his influence away from the area with the absence and departure of Dan Snyder. So then it's like when you watch those shows and it's like dead and then the evil is lifted and it turns into like a Garden of Eden. That's what's going to happen. I love Terry McLaurin. I love Brian Robinson. I think he's going to go well over 1,000 yards. I mean, because let's be honest, he's now gone almost a calendar year without getting shot.
Woohoo!
Which is, you know, good for him and good for all. I think Antonio Gibson is going to thrive because he's one of those slash type. He has 1,000-yard rushing season a couple years ago, but I think he's more like a Deebo Samuel. Yeah, he can run to the ball, but you line him up in the slot and move him around. I think he was a wide receiver at Memphis, so I have high hopes for him with Eric Bieniemy as the offensive coordinator. I have high hopes for Logan Thomas. Maybe we'll have a tight end that stays healthy. And yes, I believe in Sam Howell. I think Sam Howell is going to be good.
I think the Commanders are also in arguably a better position than even we were when I was talking about what I said. It was a brilliant tank Chicago had last year. I said, oh, this was one of the most entertaining tanks I've ever witnessed in my life. I would argue Washington's in almost a better position in that you can tell early on in a very tough division, you're not in the NFC North. You're not going to start 1-3 and cling on to hope because the division leader might be 2-2. Either Washington's going to come out with their pants absolutely on fire, ready to come slinging, or let's say they do. They're, you know, like, oh, well, crap. We dropped to the Eagles and the Cowboys because they're really good, and then we had to play the Dolphins, and they whipped us, and oh, darn it. 1-5 start. If Washington wants to turn it around and say, all right, here you go. Maybe Howell's struggling. Here, Jacoby Brissett, steer the tank into shore, will you? In a loaded quarterback class next year, Washington is not in a position where they desperately need to say, well, you know what? If we're going to rebuild, tear the whole thing down, let's go get a quarterback, let's start. They can straight up just do that. Say, all right, well, we didn't like Howell.
You're right.
Drake May, you're a Washington Commander. And if he's good, bam, you got a team around him ready to go.
Yeah, well,
you got wide receivers, you got running backs.
And we haven't talked about what the strongest group of the team is, which is the defensive line.
Oh, my heavens.
You've got...
That is... The NFC East has got quite a trench warfare going on.
But Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, of course. Montez Sweat looked really good last year. In fact, Montez Sweat has most Commander fans thinking they can afford to get rid of Chase Young and keep him instead. That being said, I just watched like a workout hype video of Chase Young yesterday.
Don't fall for it.
And it's like, whoa. I haven't, but he's still on their team. Here's what I think is going to happen. I think Chase Young is going to have a great year. I think he's going to have double-digit sacks.
If Chase Young stays healthy, he should always have a great year.
And I think that's going to happen this year. Then I think he's going to leave the team and sign a huge contract with someone else and probably have a terrific career. Because that's what Washington does. Now, I'm hopeful that changes because that's not what they used to do. Like I said, the evil is departing.
Now, this is probably all because my dad cursed you when he was in high school. And it must still be hitting you to this day that his favorite player when he was a young lad and a teenager was Wilbur Marshall. You're talking about the 85 Bears that had Walter Payton and Mike Singletary and Gary Fensick, Dan Hampton. Richard if you wanted Dent. Fun, you had William Perry running the football. Lots of great players. Wilbur Marshall was his favorite player. Tells me to this, he's like, that was my guy. Loved Wilbur.
And then he went to Washington.
And Washington stole him. And he said, he's like, Dan Schneider didn't help because he's more worm than man. He's like, so I hate Dan Schneider. But I've hated Washington ever since they stole Wilbur Marshall from me as a wee lad. Like, he's like, it was like if your next door neighbor came
to be
up
fair,
to you
Dan
as a
Snyder wasn't the owner then.
No, but going from the owner that stole Wilbur Marshall to then Dan Snyder certainly doesn't help things. Maybe things are better now. You've got brand new ownership. But anyhow, evidently you've been cursed ever since. So now this has to happen to you.
I agree with you, though, if Sam Howell turns out to not be who we're hoping that he is, like you said, they get
there is a quick fix option.
Yeah. And I could see Washington, even if they won more games, even if they were 500 again, mm-hmm. I could see them trading up.
Yeah.
if they were looking for a quarterback next year.
I am positive that some team that has a rookie, Houston, Carolina, Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Some of these teams that just took a quarterback high.
They're not going to take another one.
They're arguably going to be picking in the top 10 again next year. None of them are.
Yeah, they're not taking.
And they're not going to take a quarterback. So they'd be willing to, if you're like, hey, we'll give you two firsts, we'd like pick number four.
But I feel like Washington can win 10 games this year.
They have a roster that, as you said, can do it. What it's going to come down to is A, how are they going to play within their own division?
And how good is Howell?
Because, oh my heavens. Now, New York doesn't scare either of us all that much.
No.
But you do have four Dallas-Philly games. Which,
I will say Sam Howell is 1-0 against Dallas in his career.
Which is funny. how Sam Howell plays. Because, I mean, he's not even like a guy that you're like, well, we had a nice like 8-game sample size and we have
high.
I mean, we're talking, you've seen a preseason game and one regular season game.
But he's been there 2 years. So, I mean,
I know,
it's
but
not
what
like,
we know about him
no,
is
you're
kind
right.
of what I'm saying.
But we've seen more of him than the Packers have ever seen of Jordan Love. They're starting him.
Boom or bust fantasy option, Dal. Obviously, we spent a little more time on Washington than the other teams. But Jahan Dotson.
Boom. Boom, baby.
How crimson are those glasses, Dal?
He only had 500 yards last year because he missed a bunch of games. I could see him easily cresting 1,000 yards this year.
I actually am a huge Jahan Dotson fan.
I am too, and you kind of turned me on to him when they drafted him, and I wasn't really familiar with who he was.
And I was personally offended.
You were, you still are. I think Dotson's going to have a big year, and I will probably overdraft him. Just throwing that out there.
Now, I will say that thanks to popular demand, Dal, we did move from 3 wide, 2 running back to 2 wide, 2 running back in a flex.
Okay.
So, I guess it'll depend. Are you going to get a 3rd running back, or can you slide Jahan Dotson into that flex spot and then hope for 14 points a game out of him and say, ha-ha!
I don't know. I'm going to have to wait and see how it goes. All right, Aaron is now donning his Jets jersey.
The J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Probably one of the more intriguing off seasons of any team.
It's a Vilma, by the way.
In the last, I don't know how long. I mean, you go from Zach Wilson and Mike White to Aaron freaking Rodgers.
Now, I've got an interesting boomer bust for this team coming up way later. But yeah, we're talking about the Jets. Aaron Rodgers shows up. We all know what he can do with his arm. The question is, is he in? I mean, let's be honest. You kind of sort of disagreed with me, but I thought last year Aaron Rodgers, I was giddy watching Packer games. I'm like, this is their hero. This was like watching Superman die. And like, I'm Lex Luthor watching it happen. And I'm like, oh, this is beautiful. I love it. Throw. By the way, the lion that kept intercepting him. It's a shame that he's a Detroit Lion. Forget his name now. That same cornerback that picked him off 4 times in 2 games, University of Illinois. Just so we're
Basically the whole Illinois
grew up a Bears fan.
Basically, the whole Illinois secondary got drafted this last year. So
yeah, so that's going to be a shame.
To me, the Jets. I hate to say this because I hate the Jets. They're a dangerous team. Garrett Wilson is a bona fide stud at wide receiver. The guy who should be getting more talk than he gets because he got hurt and missed half the year, Breece Hall is a horse.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't get hurt last year, the Jets might push for the playoffs last year, and they had nothing at quarterback. I feel like their defense is solid. I think Saleh is a great coach. I think he was a great pick for them. And once they get even just good or adequate quarterback play and cut down on turnovers, that's a winning team. And then you go get Aaron Rodgers. Now, things could fall apart. Maybe Aaron Rodgers and his 38-year-old knees go out there and something gives way and he can't play the whole season. And then you're back to what poo-poo platter you've got left. Zach Wilson making life miserable for Aaron Rodgers. I like to make that joke. He even referenced it. That was hilarious. Someone asked him about it. He's like, no, he's been very nice, and I appreciate that. He kind of smirks.
Obviously, I think you kind of already answered my boomer bust for this one, but I'll still save it for a second. I think the biggest thing is, once again, much like we talked about with your Washington Commanders, they play in a division with the Buffalo Bills. They play in a division with the Miami Dolphins. They play in a division that technically has Bill Belichick in it. Not much else, but it has Bill Belichick in it. Will the Jets have a big monster season? Or are they looking to fight for a 7 seed come playoff time? We don't really know yet. Will Aaron Rodgers Russell Wilson all over himself? We straight up don't know. There's just so many questions there to be asked. And with that, I don't know that you think Rodgers will do such a thing, but my boomer bust was going to be Garrett Wilson. He's available. It's round 6.
Oh, hell yes, I take him.
You're taking Garrett Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
So here's a fun tidbit. Last season, Garrett Wilson was, he was all right for fantasy.
I could see him having 1,500 yards this year.
In games that's, you're going to love this stat. You're going to absolutely love this one. As an avid Zach Wilson hater, in games that Zach Wilson did not play, so Joe Flacco, Mike White games, Garrett Wilson in PPR leagues averaged 19.2 points per game. He averaged mid-single digit in Zach Wilson starts. Well, I think it was around 5 points per game.
I guess you can
game.
See why he came out that one week and it's like, this guy sucks.
So,
I think Garrett Wilson,
Aaron Rodgers, not Zach Wilson,
and another. Keep in mind that he was a rookie. I mean, let's keep that in mind too. The guy had 1,100 yards as a rookie. Yeah, I think Garrett Wilson's going to have a huge year, and I think the Jets are going to be at least the second best team in this division, and that's with my Bills goggles on. I think they will push Buffalo for the championship of the AFC East.
So, I'm guessing the jersey I just put on is not the team that you have in first place.
No, they don't have enough weapons. You just put on your Patriots. Is that Tom Brady?
That is Thomas Brady.
It's
got
to be Tom Brady. Isn't it funny? He doesn't wear it for 2 years. You're like, who's number 12 for the Patriots?
Well, considering they switched to these jerseys in 01... I would say I don't think there's been another number 12 that wore the navy blue.
Yeah, I think
blue.
You're right. Well, they never will.
Yeah. So,
I have a lot of respect for Bill Belichick. I think he's one of the best coaches of all time. But you look at the Patriots, they're just wanting in playmakers. I mean, you look at the rest of the AFC East. So we just threw out a bunch of names for the Jets, and that doesn't even include some of their other guys that I think are going to contribute pretty highly on offense. And then you look at the Bills, obviously Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Dawson Knox. And Miami is loaded, at least on paper, with Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Raheem Mostert, and more. The Patriots have a 1,000-yard rusher, barely, in Ramondre Stevenson. And then your best receiver is Jacoby Myers, at least statistically.
And is it?
Yeah, he had the most yardage for them last year.
I thought he signed with the Raiders.
Oh, well, then he's not even there.
He's not even on the team.
Okay, I made a mistake then.
They got nothing.
They got nothing. I do not see the Patriots doing much in that division.
I did see ESPN put out there, poor Davis Mills, by the way, put out a tweet that said, who will take the biggest year 3 leap? It was A, Trevor Lawrence, B, Justin Fields, C, Trey Lance, D, Mac Jones. And first of all I could think is, no, oh, poor Davis Mills. Doesn't even get a shout out. Zach Wilson.
Well, the thing about Davis Mills is he threw for 3,000 yards last year, and he's going to lose his job.
Mm-hmm.
Because his team picked the number one overall pick,
now,
and it's a quarterback.
To be fair, he did have the 3,000 yards. I don't think any of us were fooled into grandeur.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying... He's a hell of a lot better than Zach Wilson, statistically and probably as a person. I doubt Davis Mills hits on his teammates' mothers.
One day we will have a hate-off where we just put up a picture of Zach Wilson and a picture of Aaron Rodgers, and we see which one of our hate meters fills up the fastest.
See, I think you win on that because at least Aaron Rodgers has done something to hurt your team. I just don't like Zach Wilson.
But, so as far as New England goes, not a whole lot going on there. They got, but anyone that hit D on that poll and said Mac Jones is straight up high as a kite as they're doing it. I mean, and maybe
Mac Jones, he's wicked
fault
good.
Of his own, because oopsie daisies with that supporting cast they gave him.
If you put Mac Jones on Washington,
he would. He's probably pretty good.
He's probably pretty good. He has no one to throw to. And then I'm a big history karma guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the New England Patriots have been pissing in the face of history for about 20 years now. They have enjoyed unparalleled success during the Belichick-Brady era. You have to pay the piper. You could argue they paid some of that before, because they weren't very good historically before.
They went to 3 Super Bowls, though.
But they never won them, and they had a lot of crappy years. But
2 Super Bowls, my bad.
Most of their piper paying, I think, is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got these 18 to 25-year-old Patriot fans that strut around and act like they're the best team ever. It's time to pay the piper. And I think it continues. It's already started. It continues this year. I could see the Patriots having a very tough year.
So the Patriots are tough for me to come up with someone on this one, because every single player on their offense, I feel like everyone, there's no question marks. Are you booming or busting on Mac Jones? Buzzed. Ramondre Stevenson, boom. Patriot defense.
To me, it depends where you're picking Ramondre Stevenson.
Maybe, but you got Stevenson in the defense.
I mean, it's
and
nice
like,
to have 1,000 yards, but if you
okay, he'll catch 50 balls.
Okay,
though.
But let's say round 6 comes around. Are you taking him or Brian Robinson Jr.? I'm taking Brian Robinson.
Well, certainly,
and I admit
based
part
on your
of that,
hat.
And part of that's based on that. I think he's going to have a better year. I think Ramondre Stevenson, I mean, nothing against him, but you barely crest 1,000 yards.
I think, though, where he, because last year he was running back 5, lest we forget, per catch, and a big part of that is, boy, are the Patriot quarterbacks, if you're a fantasy fan and you play PPR, you have a nice 10-point floor on Stevenson, because he's going to get 6 1-yard catches.
I guess that's true.
But yeah, I'm not in love with any of their wide receivers.
Okay, how about this? Boom or bust, does New England have a 1,000-yard receiver this year?
No.
Not a
Straight
chance.
Straight up no.
Not a chance.
Not even Hunter Henry.
Yeah, not a chance. I agree.
All right.
So bust.
Bust. Let's pretend it was Hunter Henry. Would you feel comfortable if Hunter Henry was your fantasy tight end one?
No. Not with the Patriots.
No.
Not if I want my tight end to get 1,000 yards. Because he's not going to.
He has the potential to do it, but not in that offense.
I'm going
to
struggle with this one just a little bit.
Oh, you shouldn't.
He's put on his Marino. I like Dan Marino. Put on his Dan Marino.
Oh,
jersey.
I thought you meant struggle to figure out.
Oh no,
what the jersey.
No,
was.
No, no. I don't like the Dolphins. That's where I'm going to struggle. I think they have gotten way too much. There have been way too much butt kissing of the Miami Dolphins this offseason, in my opinion.
Now, if they do go out and sign Dalvin Cook, how many wins do you mentally add to their total?
Here's my thing. They still have not addressed the elephant in the room. Is Tua Tagovailoa going to last 17 games plus the playoffs? Right. There's your question.
Now, if you have Dalvin...
Right now, I would say hell no.
If you put Dalvin Cook in that backfield...
Then you have him. You got Raheem Mostert.
Are you slightly more comfortable if you have to borrow Teddy Bridgewater for 4 games?
Absolutely, I'm more comfortable.
You're like, all right.
But if I'm Dalvin Cook, why do I go there? He deserves to be paid, just like all these other teams. And if he's going to go ring chasing, I think there's other teams that he can take a discount on that are going to give him a better chance that has, you know.
That's under the assumption.
The weather's nice. But
though that you go all one way or all the other way. There is the possibility here for Miami that they are the team among the contenders that can also offer the most money of that group.
And it's possible, but if they're going to do it, I think they'd have done it.
Potentially.
But to me, the elephant in the room is Tua. he has proven to be, even going back to Alabama, injury prone. He's not very big. For an NFL quarterback, he is not very big. He takes too many hits. And when he does take hits, some of these guys have a natural, they've learned how to fall. I don't know if they do martial arts or if they do something else. Tua does not know how to fall.
I was going
to
say,
that guy knows how to fall backwards and blast the back of his head off the turf. That's what he knows how to do, which is scary.
So here's where I'll go with this one. The big story for Tua Tagovailoa in the offseason was, as you just said, with mixed martial arts, he has been practicing jiu-jitsu to work on his concussion problem.
I think that's great.
Do you think it works? Boom or bust? Are you comfortable going into 2023, Dal, Tua Tagovailoa is your fantasy quarterback one?
No.
Your backup's terrible. So he's going to be your every week but his bye quarterback?
No.
No?
Not a chance.
All right.
I don't think if he plays double-digit games, I think that is a positive for the Dolphins. But 17 plus the playoffs, that's something that would be remarkable to me. I just don't see it.
All righty, so that leaves us just one final team, Dal. We ended the NFC with your favorite team. We're going to end the AFC with your...
The East Division, yes.
Your AFC favorite team.
Buffalo Bills, it's on backwards. You got your Ryan Fitzpatrick jersey. One of the more likable guys to ever play in the NFL.
Unless you're Tom Brady.
I wish we could have
heard of their little spat.
I wish Washington could have had that year of him healthy instead of the six or seven plays we got. But the Buffalo Bills are kind of the popular take a step back pick, I've noticed, among pundits this offseason. I keep hearing phrases like window is closing, Josh Allen being passed on the elite scale by guys like Joe Burrow and maybe Jalen Hurts.
I feel like
the experts that have been really high on Josh Allen and the Bills have kind of cooled on them this offseason.
I still say the most appropriate place to put Allen, you may disagree, because I'm sure our 2 and 3 are similar.
I would
similar.
Put Burrow ahead of Allen right now.
Okay, I was about to say, the appropriate place to put Josh Allen, for me, the top three is so locked in.
Mahomes, Burrow, Allen?
Yeah, Mahomes, Burrow, Allen.
I can
the
live
end.
With that.
You can argue 4 through 10 all day, every day.
I can live with that.
And all 4 through 10 could rearrange every time you made the list and still be within reason. 1 through 3 are basically locked in for me.
And the only
bing, bang, boom.
And the only way 1 through 3...
Nail them.
And to me, the only way 1 through 3 can be rearranged is in the postseason, which we mm-hmm. just saw. I think up until this last postseason, Allen was kind of regarded in front of Burrow, and now he's not.
I'll say this, though. I think in September, I think you can flip Burrow and Allen. You can flip Allen and Mahomes.
Yeah.
Josh Allen is going to come out like he does every... And it's so weird. I know he's a California kid, but it is funny. You think of... He's from Wyoming.
He's not your typical California kid, though. He's not like... He grew up on the beach. He grew up farming cantaloupe.
Doesn't he just strike you as, if you were going to handpick a quarterback to be, that's my cold weather quarterback, that it should be Allen? And yet, when it's September, October, and the weather's hot, when he plays in domes, legitimately, you would think he should be like in New Orleans or something slinging the ball. It is so odd to me that his stats do take such a dip in cold weather. Man, in September, is Josh Allen going to be the guy you want on your fantasy team? He is going to come out like he does every year. He plays the Jets week one.
That's
going to be some fireworks.
Here's my thing about the Bills. To me, the biggest question mark for the Bills is still a big question mark for the Bills. Who is running back one? They've gone to Devin Singletary for years. Now he's gone. Now you've got...
We are told... James Cook is going to get a bell cow.
Yeah, so now you got James Cook, who's Dalvin's brother,
mm-hmm.
which kind of puts a damper on the whole should we sign Dalvin discussion, because James is over there going, please don't bring my brother in. But wouldn't that be kind of interesting if that happened? But right now, it's James Cook. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that means. The Bills have invested in top 3 round running backs several times now. Singletary, Zach Moss. I'm forgetting somebody. I thought a guy...
C.J. Spiller comes to mind.
I thought a guy who did not get nearly the touches that I thought he would after a trade was Nyheim Hines. Mm-hmm. They traded for him from the Colts last year. That guy is slicker than dog snot on a glacier. And for whatever reason, they don't give him the ball. So to me, the big question is, okay, Josh is going to do what he's going to do. Hopefully he throttles back a little bit on the interceptions this year. It wasn't terrible last year, but he had more than he should have. He slung it a little too much last year.
And even still, as long as it's in the low teens,
it was acceptable.
His interceptions don't bother me based on the fact that they're... If you want Josh Allen to have single-digit interceptions, you know what you're going to get? You're going to get 20 touchdowns.
Yeah, you're going to get Daniel Jones.
You are not... That's not how Josh Allen...
No.
If you want Josh Allen to be the alien, as Tony Romo likes to call him, to be this freak of nature quarterback that can do what only he and Brett Favre can do, then he's going to have 14 interceptions.
He's a gunslinger.
I guess, but that's going to win you 12 games.
But to me, the big question for them is James Cook, who's going to be the consistent running back that they have not had? Because right now, you could argue since they drafted him, the most consistent running back they've had is Josh Allen. And I don't even think that's much of an argument. I think he has been their most consistent goal line and third down running back. By the way, he happens to be their quarterback.
May I thank him for all three of my fantasy championships in all three leagues
last year? Well, I owe him two. For my league, but I still think that's a huge question. The next question is Stephon Diggs and Josh's little beef, was that a thing? I don't think it was much of a thing. I think they are best friends. I think it's more like when brothers fight. It's intense for a minute, but you love each other, you get over it quick. You're guys. It's overblown. To me, the big question is, you've already got Dawson Knox, who I think needed to be fed a little more.
Well, he's not going to this year.
This is my point. Then you go out and you get Dalton Kincaid, your first-round pick. Do the Bills run a ton of two tight end set this year to get them both the ball? If so, I think that's a favorable formation to run out of, too.
I think they will run a lot of two tight end sets. Oh, sorry. However, I don't think that's going to lead to Dawson Knox, as you point out, getting more touches. I think when they run two tight end sets, it's Knox will occasionally run routes, but it's Kincaid that's going to be the pass catcher, and it's going to be Knox that is kind of the rub route guy and the blocker to help Allen out.
But I think Knox is really an athletic kid.
He is.
They're hoping Kincaid is Travis Kelce.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, that's
I still say they took the wrong tight end first.
That's a huge ask. But at the same time, I think the offense will be better. The defense has got to stay healthier. That was a huge issue last year.
Massive.
I think another thing that kind of got overlooked, and I am at the top of the overlooked pile.
Von Miller is back.
Josh Allen was hurt a little bit.
He was dinged up.
And I think during that stretch, he was vulnerable. He was not invincible. Because he was still trying to be a gunslinger, but he didn't have that last 5% of elasticity in his arm to put it where he wanted. And I think he threw more picks because of it.
Do you think this hurts or helps the Bills that they now play in? For several years now, I have pointed out for the last two seasons, the Buffalo Bills' biggest obstacle is they can be locked in. Put them in pen right now. They're going to be the third best team in the AFC. Automatically.
Yeah. I mean, that is...
The problem is...
That's arguable.
They're not going to go any lower. No one from the South's going to beat the Bills. There's not a wild card from the North or West that's better than the Bills. I mean, when I say can beat them, obviously, the Houston Texans could beat the Bills. It's the NFL. I'm saying should.
Yeah.
The problem
was...
It's
the Chiefs and then the Bengals and then the Bills.
And they couldn't find an answer in the playoffs for the Bengals or Chiefs. Year after year, there was just something about those matchups, and a big part of it, I still think, is the running game.
I agree.
The Chiefs pull running backs out of their butts and get 100-yard games in the playoffs. Well, Buffalo gets nothing.
I think
nothing.
I think another thing that has not been talked about enough for the Bills is you went from Brian Daboll being your quarterback whisperer and calling plays to somebody who's never done it before. Last year, it was his first year. I think he'll be better. I think the offense will be a little better. But to me, the big question is still, if James Cook can give them 1,200 yards rushing, the Bills,
they're golden.
The Bills are going to be scary.
Here's my question.
If he gives them 700 yards, then they're right what they've been, which is still really good, but probably not enough to get over the hump.
So here was my question. Do you suppose this helps or hurts the Bills? For 2 years in a row, they could be locked in. They're the third best team in the AFC. Go. This year, for the first time, they're going to get real push from two teams in their own division.
Potentially.
There's two ways this can go. A, oopsie daisies, we got the crap kicked out of us. We're tired. We're exhausted. We are mentally stressed every game. So by the time we get to the playoffs, we're roadkill. We're done. We've done this too long. It's essentially like playing 10 playoff games instead of just three. Or do you see it battle hardening them, and this is what they needed to get over that hump? Instead of the cakewalk, by the time they get to the playoffs and they face Cincinnati, they face Kansas City, they're like, well, we already had four games against Kansas City and Buffalo in our own division this year. We had to play the Jets. We had to play the Dolphins. And those were hard scrap. We basically already played four playoff games before the playoffs even started. I see it going those two ways. Kill them or revitalize them?
I think it's a great question. And I could see it going both ways, but I also think they've got so many good things going for them. And I think last year can serve as a little bit of a, you weren't as invincible as maybe you thought you were. And so I think, hopefully, this team has spent the offseason focusing on the little things and getting better. I still think they win the division, and I still think they are right there in the second, third round of the playoffs to take on the Chiefs and the Bengals. I still think they're right there. Whether or not it's good enough to beat them, I mean, I don't think you can answer that right now.
So maybe it's cheating. The obvious choice for Boomer Bust, because we just said it, was James Cook. Would you feel comfortable with James Cook as your flex this year?
Now, describe flex, because there's a couple ways. You're talking like...
He's your third running back, but you could use a wide receiver in that spot.
I would take him because, especially early, because mm-hmm. we don't know yet, I would absolutely take him because he's going to get a ton of touches. He's going to get the opportunity to put up huge numbers.
And obviously some other flex type players we mentioned already. Let's say he's available and Jahan Dotson's available. You taking a third wide receiver, or do you want the stability of, well, I know Cook's going to touch the ball more?
I would take Cook.
You would take Cook?
Because I think he's going to get more touches than Dotson will.
Here's another big one. We haven't asked this one yet. We're getting two for Buffalo, Dal. We're getting spicy at the end of the episode. The San Francisco 49ers have been taken. It's round 12. All the kickers and defenses are flying off the board. You have the choice of second defense for fantasy. Leslie Frazier is gone. Are you still taking Buffalo as your defense too?
My backup defense?
No. As the overall defense number two that Yahoo has them right now behind San Francisco. Or would you rather have Philly, Dallas?
I would rather have Washington.
Than Buffalo?
Yeah. Now, I think Washington's defense is going to be good this year.
Washington's defense is solid. Here's where I kind of... Here's the aspect I would think about.
I think their secondary is lurking in the weeds good.
Remember, though, Washington's defense was good last year on a points-allowed basis. And for fantasy, they were like fantasy defense 14.
It's because
you get sacks and turnovers get you points.
Yeah, but I would also argue our top quarterback had 1,700 passing yards last year.
And I was going to say the other part of it is it definitely behoofs for fantasy points to be a defense that plays on a team that's going to be ahead a lot. Because then you can just attack the other team's quarterback.
I would take them, but I don't think they're number two good.
So it's technically you're going bust, but...
Technically, yeah, because I don't think they'll be as good as number two. If they're healthy the whole season, They could be.
Now, I had them last year in fantasy in two of my leagues as my starting defense, and I think they did end as like defense three or something. After starting defense one for most of the year.
To me, if they had not lost some of their, you know, Poyer and Hyde and Miller all go down, those guys are all healthy all year, then I amend.
Miller. Von Miller back
on. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But like Jordan Poyer and Hyde, those guys are studs.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if those guys are healthy, then I would amend it and say boom. But that's not what we've gotten the last couple of years. I think they get dinged up.
Give us a pick, Dal, before we sign off.
I'm going to ask you one on the Bills.
Okay. Who's a sneaky defense? Let's say you don't get one of the blue chips. All right. Philly, San Francisco, Dallas, and Buffalo are gone.
Washington? I'm a believer, man. I think they're going to have a great year. I think they're going to get a lot of sacks. I think they're going to get a lot of picks, and they're going to do well overall.
Are we ever going to get the year? Jets would be one of my considerations as
Jets,
well.
Jets are going to be good.
Every year, the Bengals defense in the playoffs play some of the best defensive football you've ever seen, and the next year you think, well, maybe that'll carry over to the... And every year their regular season is meh. And then the playoffs happen, and are we ever going to get a year where they play like the playoff Bengals in the regular season? And
I don't know.
A bunch of fantasy points.
I'd be good with that because obviously Logan Wilson led them in tackles last year. So
I need him to now lead them like positively, not like the middle linebacker leads in these categories. Like I need if Logan Wilson, he was on our show once. Logan, if I can ask you for one favor, Dal asked for I think an autograph for his sister. My favor is...
It's actually not my sister. It's my niece-in-law.
We're deciding whether certain in-laws are in-laws by here on the show today. My favor, Logan, is if I could get like 10 sacks and 10 takeaways from you for fantasy point reasons. Yes, it's going to have to be ridiculous.
Crap. He'd be the MVP of the league if he did that.
Yes. You know what? Or if you want, just tell Sam Hubbard and 91, Trey Hendrickson in front of you. Say, could you guys both get like 15 sacks this year? Aaron could really use it. Maybe a few scoop and scores because he's drafting you guys in fantasy as a defense. And he would really appreciate
that. You just
that.
Gave up more information than you should have, sir. Now, if I get a chance to steal the Bengals from you, maybe I will. Okay, here's my last question of the podcast. Boom or bust for the Bills, Dalton Kincaid. Is he second on the Bills in receiving yardage this year?
I am going to pass on him for a year. I will let someone else be.
So you're
my...
saying bust?
Yeah, I'm going to
at least as far as that question's concerned.
Sort of. What I'm actually saying is that I'm going to let him have a guinea pig year, where I let someone else either claim the glory or not, and let me see what he is. Because otherwise. I mean, he's a tight end.
Do you know who
and that scares me because there's only going to be 12 of those taken anyway. Do I think Dalton Kincaid will be a top 12 tight end in football with another tight end stealing his catches from him? Hard to say. Maybe I'd rather play it safe and say, well, maybe I'd rather have Darren Waller from the Giants. Or Cole Kmet from the Bears, who isn't a guy that wows you. But he did have double-digit touchdowns last year. So you're like, even though he's not going to get me a 30-point game, at least I can almost bet on at least a 6-point floor.
I am going to throw this out there. I think my sneaky emerging player for the Bills is Khalil Shakir. He played at Boise State. They drafted him fifth.
Shakir, I think.
Yeah, what did I say?
Shakir.
Okay,
Shakir. I'm being a snob about it,
okay.
But yes.
But they picked him up fifth round out of Boise. The guy is he's a stud.
You want to talk about a late-season bloom?
And I think the Bills are looking for one of those guys to emerge because I thought it was going to be a couple other guys last year.
Are
really
we giving
wasn't.
Up on Gabe Davis?
I don't know.
It's playoff Gabe.
Yeah, there's 17 games before that.
Now, he did have one game where I had Mike Evans, I think, in my lineup for fantasy last year, and I was playing a gentleman by the name of Bob in my Bears group chat fantasy league who has legendary Hall of Fame rants when he gets mad at sports. He's a Cubs fan. He's a gambler. He loves to rant about that. And he's a Bears fan. He loves to rant about that. I mean, and my heavens, did I not wet myself out of laughter from the one game Buffalo's playing Pittsburgh. I'm like, I'm not starting Gabe Davis as my third wide receiver against Pittsburgh and their defense. No way. Oh my goodness. Can you believe it, Dal? Mike Evans isn't playing this week. I have to start Gabe Davis. 5 minutes before kickoff, I have to put Gabe Davis into my lineup. Ugh. Anyway, he had a 99-yard touchdown in that game, and then he also had 200 yards receiving in total and two touchdowns. Yeah, he had like 65 fantasy points, and I won that week by 15. And Bob gets into the chat. I mean, he was about to go on what legally would have been classified as a spree.
A tirade.
Yeah. It was very funny to me.
That is
Thank
good.
Thank you, Gabe Davis, well, for that one game.
We'll see what he does, but I think Khalil Shakir is going to be an emerging star for the Bills wide receiving corps.
For me personally, I think unless it's round 15 and I'm taking a flyer, I'm still only comfortable.
I think that's fine.
With Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, and I think that's fine. But I do think by the end of the season, if Shakir has over 1,000 yards receiving, I would not be surprised. That's just my two cents.
He will be a spectacular week three random waiver wire pickup for me that leads me to my championship.
Or even a week six.
My best player every year is some dude I picked up in week three.
Especially if you pick Jonathan Taylor first overall. Suck it.
I remember I had no running backs last year, Dal. I don't remember if you recall me complaining about that on a weekly basis until, whoopsie daisies, turns out Rashad Penny got hurt. I said, well, I better pick up his backup just to see what Walker.
Just some guy named Kenneth Walker.
Thank you, Kenneth. Appreciate all you've done. Hero on the show.
Well, there we are. There's the East teams taken care of.
Next week, we'll hit up the North. And we'll talk NFC and AFC.
King of the North!
Where it'll be my A, favorite team, and B, designated bandwagon AFC team. So we're going to go from Dal to Aaron. And then one of these weeks, I'm going to be in Missouri when we do the show.
Again.
Yeah, I'm going to try to do that one with a sound, maybe call in, and we'll do it that way or something. Maybe we'll do the West that week or something. Something that
I can mute him anytime I want. I guess I can do that now. See?
Cry a little bit. Anyway, you can catch us on Spotify, on YouTube, and at svinews.com/podcasts. See you all next time.